Well, wasn't that an amusing little damned adventure?
JB doffed his fedora to wipe sweat from his head. With Mildred still at the wheel, the Hummer was making its way toward the big lake and the ruined city in its midst, mainly for want of a better destination.
We come into what we think is Happy Valley, and the next thing we know, we're caught in a war between cannibal muties and sect men with enough firepower to knock over a good-sized barony by their lonesomes, led by a sect man on a big bike wearing a rag and a feather duster. Gee, why don't we settle down right now and start raising families?
Look, Buster, you just don't get a village like that happening without a long spell of stability allowing people to better themselves and their surroundings. It just doesn't happen.
She's right, JB.
Ryan sat on the back seat. His single eye was tracking relentlessly over the landscape, which continued to consist of rocky hills and ridges and lava flows interspersed with patches of green grass.
The people who built that village had the means to do it right and keep it up. That means they weren't stretched across the knife edge of survival and weren't in the middle of any kind of war.
Befall.
Yeah, I know. Sorry for playing designated killjoy again, Millie. I hate to admit it, but even a crusty, cynical old bastard like me allowed himself a spell of wishful thinking.
It's a good thing you apologized. I'd hate to have to cut you off, especially after such a close brush with death.
Yeah, that old life-affirming thing.
It seems apparent the occupants of the village we were so unceremoniously forced to decamp enjoyed a lengthy halcyon time.
Halcyon? Now there's a hell of a word, Doc, even coming out of your mouth. What's it mean?
Kingfisher.
Everybody turned to look at the slight albino youth. Wise as he was in all phases of the brutal fight for survival, he was as illiterate as a rock, and not widely known for intellectual curiosity.
And just exactly how do you know something like that?
Doc, tell me. Lots of kingfishers on bayou.
It is good to see the seeds of knowledge may find purchase and bloom even in the most barren and unpromising ground. As young Jack says, it is also a kind of bird. But as I meant to say, the unhappy villagers unquestionably enjoyed a long spell of comparative peace and plenty. But just as manifestly, those days have quite recently ended in massacre.
Not massacre. Not enough chills. People ran.
True, Jack. But to pack it all into a shell casing, times have been good back in that ville, but the good times just ended.
Which means our timing sucks. Again.
So what now, Ryan?
Beats me. Christy needs a safe place to shelter until she can fight her infection. Bad troubles hit the first ville we found, but that doesn't mean it's taken over the whole valley.
But from the way you told us the sect men acted, they don't exactly seem like prizes either. I'm glad you opted to run from them.
Something about those sect boys. Just hearing my gut, it hits me that they acted a whole lot more like some kind of conquering army than people coming back to their homes. Even coming to take their homes back by force.
The people in that ville were never that well armed, or they wouldn't have been killed or driven off in the first place. The muties outnumbered the sect men we saw, 4, maybe 5 to 1 or more. But they didn't hang around once that patrol hit town.
And they were smart to hit the road, given how heavy the biker boy and his little pals were packing. But you know, Ryan, if those muties...
Not just muties.
Well, right, hon. If those raiders had been at all comfortable in a ville, they could have still laid the original world of hurt on that sect patrol. Even stones and sticks can do some damage against machine guns and fancy laser blasters. Street fighting's like that.
Which only gives support to what we have already surmised, that the Marauders are functionally nomadic and have but recently arrived in the valley, or at least this part of it. What I find intriguing, John Barrymore, is our deliverance from the dubious mercies of that security patrol, through the agency of a mysterious barrage of missiles. Who loosed those projectiles in so timely a way? 'Twas as dramatic as the lightnings of Zeus, and every bit as unlikely.
Well, gents, we may be about to find out.
The wag was slowing. A man had stepped out from a toothy black jut of lava boulders into their path. As most of the humans and muties they'd seen this day, he was short and dark, with a shock of hair as glossy black as volcanic glass. It was held out of his eyes by a green rag tied around his temples for a headband. He wore a short-sleeved shirt, mottled in dark brown and green camo, olive-drab pants, and sandals. Aside from a knife and a scabbard on his belt, he showed no weapons. His hands were raised in the universal no-threat sign. JB stood up through the gunner's hole in the roof, covering the man with his Uzi. The man's grin never wavered. He was clearly no fool, and wasn't taking them for fools either. Anybody confronted with a person or persons appearing out of nowhere covered them at once with whatever weapons were to hand as a matter of course, it was clear, here no less than up north. The man was choosing to expose himself to risk as a sign of willingness to parley, showing himself unarmed to emphasize that he intended no harm. But that didn't mean he didn't expect any harm done to him to be avenged in one hell of a hurry. They were being watched. Weps were sighted in on them right now. Given what they'd seen in the alley so far, that could be pretty serious indeed. Doc opened his door and stepped out into the hot sun.
¿Qué tal, amigo?
Mi nombre es Cinco Hacha. Soy un caballero aguarda de la ciudad en el lago.
Fire blast, Doc. What the hell's he thinking?
He's off the trigger, Ryan. He's nuts, but he isn't stupid.
Doc speaks Mexico, remember?
Yeah, keep both eyes open anyway.
Oh, I already spotted a few beady eyeballs around us already. Peeping at us over the sights of long blasters, of course. If these people wanted anything but to palaver, they'd already be dragging us out, leaking like the legendary Bonnie and Clyde.
It is more than fine. This young gentleman's name is Five Axe. It is a very traditional sort of name hereabouts, dating from pre-Columbian times. He is, he tells me, a Jaguar knight from the city in the lake. He leads a party of scouts. He claims, and I incline to credit this, that they saved our collective bacon from what he terms Baron Hector's men.
Ryan shrugged, set the Stier's butt down on the floor with its long barrel pointing toward the Hummer's roof, and got out himself.
And how exactly did they accomplish that?
Five X's grin widened. He held his left palm up, skimmed his right across it, and thrust his right hand forward into the air.
Whoosh, whoosh! Rockets!
Ryan glanced up at J.B. One shoulder of the armorer's jacket hiked up in an almost imperceptible shrug.
Rockets it was.
He strode forward and thrust out his hand.
I'm Ryan.
Five X took Ryan's hand and looked him in the eye and spoke.
Es un gusto y un honor conocer a un gran jefe guerrero del norte.
He says he's pleased and honored to meet such a great warrior chief from the north.
Spun him a real line of it, did you, Doc?
I told him no more than the truth. Of course, the proper presentation did your repute no harm.
Well, tell him I'm also honored to meet such a brave warrior. Thank him for saving our asses while you're at it. Lay it on thick as you like.
Already done, friend Ryan. Still, a trifle more effusiveness can scarcely go amiss.
Doc conversed for several moments with Five X. The Jaguar Knight was young, not much more than Jack's age, though considerably thicker through shoulder and chest. He carried himself with the easy assurance of a veteran. For all the fancy pants title, he seemed much business and little bullshit.
He is offering to guide us to the city in the lake and his baron, Don Tenorio. He seems altogether confident he can get us both past Don Hector's sec patrols and the marauders, whom he terms Chichimecs.
Is everybody here named Don?
It's a title, silly, like Mister.
Oh, yeah, right. I knew that.
Thank him for saving us from this Baron Hector's patrol. And try to work out some kind of diplomatic way of asking why. Are his people at war with Hector's?
Gracias por salvarnos de la patrulla del Baron Hector. ¿Está su gente en guerra con Don Hector?
No estamos en guerra con Don Hector, pero las relaciones entre nosotros no son los mejores tampoco.
He says they are not at war with Don Hector, but that relations are not the best between them either. One derives the distinct impression our new friends are not exactly dismayed that we presented them an opportunity to take one of Hector's patrols down a peg, especially one led by one of his Eagle Knights.
Eagle Knights, Jaguar Knights, seems like a lot of damn knights.
It would appear they are roughly equivalent, comprising the elite of both Baron Sekmen and also their personal bodyguards.
Elite, huh?
Ryan looked over their self-proclaimed rescuer appraisingly. Two Arrow, the Eagle Knight, had been maybe as tall as Ryan himself, muscled like an old-time statue of a god, and acted as if he thought he were one to boot, swanking around on his hog, zapping hapless muties with his wrist laser and chopping parts off helpless captives. Jaguar Knight Five Axe, odd names, oddly similar, was a scrubby little guy who all the same looked as if he could run up one side of Mount Popocatépetl and down the other without breathing heavy, and also as if he'd crawl through a mile of sewage to jump out of your crapper and slit your throat, should that happen to be his duty. it might not be so easy to pick one over the other as a pure man-chiller.
What do you think, JB? Anybody?
Let me put it to you this way, Ryan. We all know appearances can be deceiving, but this bunch we don't know for a fact are murderous assholes.
And there you have it.